Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today's podcast is going to cover a fairly serious topic, and I'm going to try to make it easy to understand as much as I can. It's a very, very important topic, and it regards the workings of our government. You know, we as Christians are citizens of two kingdoms. Did you know that? We're citizens of the right-hand kingdom, as it's called, that is the church, God's church, which will last into eternity. And we're also citizens of the left-hand kingdom, in our case, many of us listening, citizens of the United States of America. And so we think of these things as two different kingdoms where we really are active in two spheres in different ways. And so it's important for us as Christians to be active in both spheres, to be good citizens of the right-hand kingdom, the church, and to be good citizens of the left-hand kingdom, as I said, in many of our cases, the United States of America. So it's important for us to understand how our government operates, that elections have consequences, and that we need to be faithful as Christian citizens of the United States of America. So here we go. We want to talk about Title IX today. And my guess is that some of you have heard of Title IX, some may not have. Let me go over what Title IX is. We most often, I think, run into Title IX in the news with collegiate sports, for instance. As Title IX talks about sex discrimination in educational settings. And so we hear, let's say the University of Nebraska, for instance, cannot have 10 sports for men and none for women. There has to be equality there. And so that's, I think, in the news how it comes to us most often. But let me go over the history, a little bit of the history of Title IX, and then some of the changes that are taking place as of April 19th, 2024. That's pretty recent. Title IX is the most commonly used name for the landmark federal civil rights law in the United States that was enacted as part of the Education Amendments in 1972. It prohibits sex-based discrimination in any school or any other educational program that receives federal funding from the government. The full Congress passed Title IX on June 8, 1972, and the purpose of Title IX, the Education Amendments in 1972, was to update the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So in 1964, the Civil Rights Act banned several forms of discrimination in employment, but it did not address or mention discrimination in education. So in 1972, there were these educational amendments to the Civil Rights Act, and they were passed by the full Congress. That's important to note. The opening text of Title IX reads as follows, pretty simple. No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Pretty simple. And as I said, I most often hear about that in the news with regard to collegiate athletics and how if you cut, you know, if UNL were to cut its football program, then it'd have to cut a women's sport, or if it added a men's sport, it'd have to add a women's sport, that kind of stuff. So you hear that in the news often. I don't think UNL is going to cut its football program anytime soon, but one never knows. We'll see how it goes this year. In any case, so Congress passed these additions, these kind of additions to the Civil Rights Act in 1972. So you would think if there's any changes going to be made, it would have to be made by Congress. Congress is the legislative body. If you know things about our government, we have three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judiciary. And the legislature passes legislation. So if there's going to be changes to legislation, you would think Congress would have to pass those. However, that's not the case. So here's how this works. The Congress passed that seemingly simple piece of legislation and then said, you know, we don't really know how to apply that legislation. We don't have time to work on that. We don't really want to work on it because if we do, our constituents will probably get mad at us for what we say. So we're going to wash our hands of that and hand that over to be implemented by the executive branch. And the executive branch can do whatever they want with it. And so the executive branch then, through the bureaucracy, the federal bureaucracy, which serves under the executive branch, the president ultimately, the bureaucracy then interprets the law. Well, Over the course of time, since 1972, of course, the bureaucracy interprets that law in all sorts of ways. And now, as of April 19th, 2024, there is a new interpretation under the Biden administration of Title IX. All this is to say that elections matter, and that if you like the direction that President Biden is going with all sorts of initiatives, but this one in particular today we're thinking about, then you should be voting for President Biden and others of his ilk. If you do not like the direction that Title IX is going, then that should inform how you cast your vote come November. So it's important for us to know these things, understand what's happening. And in addition to the election, these things are going to affect our lives in deeply personal ways. So I want to read to you from USA Today, not known as a right-wing publication, not necessarily known as a left-wing publication, although some might argue that it is. But nevertheless, read to you from USA Today, April 20th, 2024, their news story about Title IX and these changes. And I'll try to read it as best I can without comments. I may have trouble doing that, but I'll do my best. USA Today. Students and school employees across America will be impacted in the fall by new changes to a rule that affects all federally funded schools. Practically, it's a sweeping update to how schools will have to handle sex discrimination and abuse cases. Politically, it's part of a power struggle between the Trump and Biden administrations. What's new? Well, the Biden administration released a new set of rules this week overhauling the Trump administration's Title IX rules, which gave more rights to alleged perpetrators of sexual assault and harassment. The new rules also stipulate further protections for LGBTQ plus students, as well as parenting and pregnant students. The new rules expand the definition of sexual assault and harassment. That means schools could investigate more cases of discrimination, abuse, or harassment filed by people on school campuses under the scope of the law. College student survivors will no longer be required to attend live hearings or go through cross-examinations, and people will be given the right to prompt and equitable grievance procedures, the rule reads. LGBTQ plus students will be guaranteed protection under the law if they are discriminated against for their gender identity or sexual orientation. Pregnant and parenting students who might receive unwanted sexual attention, shame, or punishment at schools will also be granted more protections from sex discrimination in the admissions process and on campus. The final regulations build on the legacy of Title IX by clarifying that all our nation's students can access schools that are safe, welcoming, and respect their rights, said U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. The rule changes have a wide range of effects on students, among the most notable examples, sexual assault survivors. The new rules will have sweeping effects on survivors of sexual misconduct and those accused of crimes. Among the changes, the definition of sexual assault will be expanded in the K-12 schools and colleges. LGBTQ plus students. Biden's Title IX update stipulates protections from sex discrimination based on gender identity for the first time. Pregnant and parenting students. The new regulations extend the definition of sex-based harassment to include pregnant people on campuses. End of USA Today. So let me make a couple of comments about this article as I kind of see it, and then you can react via email or in the comments on YouTube, things that you heard, things that you see, things that whether you agree or disagree with my commentary here. First of all, kind of low-hanging fruit, pregnant people is in the article, the words pregnant people. That gives us some sense of the worldview of the ones writing the article, as well as the ones writing the changes in under President Biden's administration. Formerly, in years past, pregnant people were all women, but now pregnant people can be men. That's why it's written as pregnant people. So if you're are of the sense that pregnant people, that men can get pregnant, well, then this would be a welcome addition to the Title IX guidelines, and Title IX rules. If you believe only women can get pregnant, then that will give you some pause for thought. In addition, there is an increase in the opportunities to prosecute and an expansion of the definitions of sexual misconduct and those accused of crimes. And they'll no longer, for instance, those who are bringing forth the accusation will no longer have to go through cross-examination, will no longer have to give in-person testimony and that sort of thing. Now, cross-examination and in-person testimony is, I would have to think, very, very difficult to do, very, very challenging for the victim. And so for me, I will say I have a heart for what is being proposed here. On the other hand, we have a long tradition going back even before the founding of our nation that people accused of crimes are innocent until proven guilty, that we are not guilty until proven innocent. What the Trump administration guidelines tried to do, and whether you agree with everything they did or not, but one of the things, as I recall, they were trying to do was to get us back to a situation where people accused of any crime, but in this case, sexual crimes, that they were thought to be innocent until proven guilty. They did not have to prove their innocence. Famously, this would be under the Duke lacrosse players case was a famous case in this regard, that those players were presumed guilty until they could prove themselves innocent. So President Biden's administration is taking us back to those days when those accused of sexual misconduct are presumed guilty until they prove themselves innocent, or at least that's the direction it seems that we're heading. And while I have a heart for victims, for sure, of sexual misconduct, I don't know that it's good for us to be going in a direction where people are presumed guilty and have to prove their innocence. That is not the way the United States has handled any sort of crime for its whole history. So that's a challenge there that we need to look into. I need to examine further with regard to these changes. The changes, as we'll see in a minute, amount to 1,500 pages of regulations issued by the federal bureaucracy, in addition to all the regulations that have come since 1972. One more thing before we go on to another article that I think is important for us to hear and understand, and that is that when I read the USA Today article, it said that LGBTQ plus students, that the Biden's Title IX update stipulates protections from sex discrimination based on gender identity for the first time. In other words, there is no way possible that Congress in 1972, when it passed Title IX, had sexual orientation or gender identity in view when it passed this regulation concerning sex. This update that the Biden administration is doing now makes the word sex in Title IX from 1972 include sexual orientation and gender identity, SOGI laws, so they're called. There's no way that Congress intended that when they passed that bill. The federal bureaucracy is now interpreting what Congress said in a way that Congress never intended. That is very clear and should be agreed upon by all parties involved. So this is a problem where Congress passes laws and then ignores whatever the federal bureaucracy does with those laws. That's a problem in the way we're governed, in the way the United States government has evolved over the years. All right. I want to share with you, finally, from an article I read on April the 22nd, 2024, so 2 days after the USA Today article. This article is from Breakpoint.org, Breakpoint.org, B-R-E-A-K-P-O-I-N-T, Breakpoint.org. It is a great resource for us as Christians as we try to understand the news from a biblical worldview perspective. So I would strongly encourage you to check out Breakpoint.org. So here's maybe 2 minutes of what Breakpoint.org said about these changes. On Friday, the U.S. Department of Education released updated regulations for Title IX. The result is bad for parents, potentially harmful for children, and turns the protections for young women on their head. So I'm continuing to read from Breakpoint.org. I'll try to do it without commentary. Title IX is the section of the Civil Rights Code passed in 1972 designed to ensure equal access and protection for women in public education programs and activities. At the heart of Title IX is the legal recognition that within public education, there should be no discrimination on the basis of sex. This was designed to include athletic participation, facilities, and scholarships. I'll not comment. Each presidential administration, through relevant departments, issues clarifications on how to apply federal law. These interpretations end up as new rules necessary for receiving federal dollars. The Biden administration's new regulations for Title IX alter the definition of sex discrimination to the extent that women will no longer be guaranteed equality in education that Title IX was designed to ensure. Specifically, the new rule, which was over 1,500 pages, expands the category of sex to include sexual orientation, gender identity, sex stereotypes, and sex characteristics. At the same time, the rule fails to define what sex is at all, or note biological sex as being essential to any category. In fact, the department has argued that sex can encompass many traits and is not necessary for the regulations to define the term for all circumstances. I got to step in, just so you catch what we're saying here. The point is, the regulations are saying, according to Breakpoint, that sex cannot be defined, and so we're just going to define it for you, but it's pliable, it's malleable, and you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean. That becomes a problem for law, you would think. Back to Breakpoint.org. The tragic irony is that it is impossible to know what legally counts as discrimination on the basis of sex if the concept of sex is not clearly defined. Such a rule can only be described as arbitrary and capricious. This is only complicated by the fact that the new rule also rolls back Trump-era rules that sought to raise the bar for accusations of sex discrimination, harassment, and abuse. The department's failure to clearly define sex reflects an intentional departure from long-standing scientific understandings of the human person and marks the latest advancement of gender ideology via politics into culture. This regulation seeks to legally normalize the increasingly contested area of gender identity and reinforce so-called gender-affirming care and transition interventions, which have caused so much harm. Even worse, the rules strengthen the ability of schools to lead children down these dangerous paths without the responsibility of informing or securing consent from parents. This new regulation also threatens to roll back the opportunities and protections of women and girls. Specifically, the rules designate that the very opportunities and protections designed for women can now be enjoyed by anyone who declares themselves to be a woman. And we've seen again and again, trans-identifying men who participate in women's sports have an unfair advantage and violate women's private spaces. I'm going to pause here with Breakpoint just for a second to put something in here. I believe, based on what I've read, that the Title IX changes that were introduced here on April 19th, 2024, specifically exclude their application to women's sports. I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's what I've read. So I want to be clear about that, that I'm unclear about that, so that it may not, these regulations, these 1,500 pages may not apply yet to women's sports, but I'm not sure. All right, continue with Breakpoint just for a second, and then we'll close out. The new regulations make plain the significance of ideas and their consequences, especially when they take on the force of the rule of law. It is also plain that elections have consequences, and there's too much at stake now to sit out the political process. At this point, given the back and forth of the administrative state in such critical departments as education and health and human services, Christians should stop thinking about voting as a choice between the lesser of two evils, but instead, how to best lessen evil. These regulations will increase evil. Far from being the policy for everyone that Education Secretary described, it prioritizes dangerous ideas over the well-being of children, the prerogative of the state over the rights of parents, and the wishes of trans-identifying men over the safety of women. Applying this new guidance will run contrary not only to the original intent of Title IX, but to the notion of human dignity in general. That's the end of Breakpoint. Well, I hope this has given you food for thought. It may be such a deep topic, you may have to go back and listen through it again, but I do believe it's important for us as Christians to know what's going on in our culture, to know what's going on with our politics, to be able to vote wisely and vote well, to be informed citizens of the left-hand kingdom. I hope this has been, I don't know if it's been encouraging or discouraging to you, but I hope it helps you live your life as a follower of Jesus in a more effective way. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. We want to encourage you to write us at eagleson the hill 211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts about Title IX, what you think about the podcast, what you'd like us to cover in other podcasts. Remember, as we close, that those who hope in the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.